easy. Doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmaner, with you live Friday on the 8th of September, 2006. My guest today, John Hanke. Did JFK 2, the Bush connection? And he came out with another one, the assassination of JFK Jr., and that's what we're talking about today. Now, let me digress here a little bit, because, John, I don't mean to beat you up, but I'll tell you what, I'm half brain dead, and I think it's my fault I'm not tracking what you're saying. What is the deal here with Hillary Clinton? Was John F. Kennedy Jr. possibly going to run for Senate in New York?
I'm surprised you haven't heard that.
No.
It's the most popular rumor, right up there with there was a bomb on the plane.
Okay. No, I didn't hear it.
Well, my suggestion is that these are all irresponsible remarks. I mean, you know, anybody's entitled to guess. But once you do the investigation, my investigation shows that those are very, very irresponsible remarks. That Kennedy was very happy at George Magazine. He was doing a very important job. And he made the remark that going into politics is like going to war,
right,
and you better have your home life solid. And that's also very much in, I mean, there's all these horrible things, right, all this black crap that they talk about John and his wife. You see them in the tabloids, and I guess I should say.
I don't read the tabloids. You got me at a disadvantage.
You shop at the supermarket, don't you?
John, I don't read that kind of crap. There's enough garbage we're trying to wade through and straighten out. I don't need any more garbage in my mind, and that's what that stuff is.
I'm standing in line at the supermarket, and I read the headlines. That's all. But they say all these horrible. Well, and as you know, listen, if it was on about John Kennedy Jr. and it was any place, I'm going to be reading, and it may have even showed up in some of the more mainstream places, that because I remember reading in some detail, but anyhow, maybe the New York Post or some such nonsense. It doesn't matter. Kennedy and his wife were fighting. I think that it seems to be that they were fighting about children, that he wanted them. In any case, it's very clear that he wanted them. He wanted them right away. That's what he wanted. That's what he was talking to people about. He was not talking to them about running for office, and when he did talk about running for office, he talked about not running for office, that he was not ready for that, that that what he was doing at George Magazine was very important, and I'm inclined to agree that what he was doing at George Magazine, I think that the article on Yitzhak Rabin was extremely important. I think the whole notion of what Kennedy was doing at George Magazine, that is to say he was trying to create a magazine that was a serious political magazine, but that took the serious politics and made it interesting.
So we have Oliver Stone that pops up in an interview, not necessarily on the John F. Kennedy assassination, but happens to mention it. And we saw how much of a problem that Oliver Stone did with his JFK movie starring Kevin Costner. You know, that just, you know, the Kennedy thing was kind of dying down a little bit. There was still some scuttlebutt stuff on the back burner, but it didn't focus the attention back onto it. And it was unfortunate for a lot of people that Oliver Stone did that movie. For us, it was pretty much factually based, you know, and it raised the whole JFK thing again. So here we have a guy that has seen Bobby Kennedy killed, John F. Kennedy killed. And I wouldn't be too proud if I was John Jr. here to see Ed Kennedy in the Senate. But there's a possibility that this guy is going to do a magazine that a lot of people are going to read, and he's going to start doing a political slant on this. Ah, so this very well could be. I mean, I'm just entertaining this in my own mind. And maybe John Jr. has to go because maybe he's pretty pissed here. Of all the lies and all the murdering going on that affected his family, maybe we got to get rid of this kid before he becomes another problem. We'll take the break and your calls right after this.
Hey, Rick Adams here. Experience the incredible germ-killing power of oregano P73. It's scientifically proven. If you suffer from allergies, asthma, sinusitis, toenail fungus, athlete's foot, or any other condition, you need the immediate germ-killing power of oregano P73. Oregano P73 is an all-natural substance and even supports the immune system. For more info, call 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on the shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
I think we have more callers on the board here on my screen than is allowed by the phone system we have. We got loaded phones is the point. Let's go immediately to Ron in Texas. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, John, is this, let me switch to the regular phone here.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I understand. I've got a note here on the screen that says you're a pilot.
Yeah, I'm a pilot. It's been a few years, but I'm instrument rated commercial and got a lot of hours, both actual instrument time.
Okay.
And, you know, nighttime flying, et cetera, and have flown complex aircraft, like you know, some of the big Moonies. I have a couple of questions to throw out. I've tossed this thing around in my mind when it originally happened and later. If there are no explosives, found there, I have a thought on what could have happened here. I want to address several things.
Okay.
First of all is the position of the fuel valve.
It was in the off position as reported by, what was that, the NTSB?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And it may have been off, but I want to make you think back to John Denver. The John Denver accident has a lot in common. It didn't happen at night, but John Denver went straight into the ground. And when the inspection was done, they found the fuel lever was off. Now, there's something you really have to add to that. When he bought that airplane, which was a home built, it was nicely built, but the builder had put the fuel valve behind the pilot's seat, the one-seater tandem airplane, and he had to turn, and he, John, had to turn the valve. There are three positions, left tank, right tank, and center off. He had to turn it with a wrench, and they believe what happened is that he turned around, tried to turn it, and he lost control of the airplane. It's really easy to do. Put your head down, twist it a few times, and the airplane goes over on its side and goes straight down. So what I'm thinking about is a similar thing could have happened with the Kennedy airplane.
Let me ask you this, Ron. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you know your plane's going to crash, and obviously they're, okay, saying there's no bombs, nobody was incapacitated and right. or dead before they hit the water, right. wouldn't it be a prudent thing to shut the fuel off before you hit the water?
It might. I mean, that's an option. I'm going to throw out another. Here's the big option I'm going to throw out to you. Yes, I agree with you. Here's the big option I want to throw out to you. I appreciate the piece of information. There are no explosives here. Here is a solution. And that instead of having the airplane loaded with an explosive, what they did was put a canister of carbon monoxide in there. What that would do, it would give anoxia. And the result of that thing, John and the passengers probably wouldn't have realized what was happening. It's leaking out. It's dependent on what the altitude of the airplane. That's how the switch is done. You set the switch that way to turn it on. Carbon monoxide is not supposed to be in an airplane unless you're trying to kill somebody. And what could have happened was that it leaked into the airplane. He's at 2,500 feet, which, by the way, is not an approach altitude. Typically, it's 1,000 feet. Once you're in the pattern, or if you're on, an instrument approach, it's a different situation, but still going to be around 1,000 feet on the approach. So I can understand that. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm saying, hey, wait a minute. Is it possible that John was just woozy here? That he was beginning to fit? And everybody in the cockpit was a little bit, just a little groggy. And he said he was on final approach when he said 2,500 feet. That's an indication that there's something wrong here. Also, the fuel switch being on the off position, there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that, indeed, he knew he was going to crash, but suppose he didn't. Let's assume that he's getting groggy, and at that point, he could have actually lost control of the airplane.
Well, and you heard one of the official assumptions that was made, that because he was alone, piloting the plane alone, he was not rated for instruments, and that he got disoriented. There might have been a little haze and fog out there, and he got disoriented and didn't know up from down.
Personal experience, it can't happen.
Sure, you and I both know that. But
you fly too. I didn't know that.
See,
the trick is to keep your eye on the instruments. Believe the instruments. Don't believe anything else.
Right.
But let's assume. I mean, I know it's a stretch, and I don't know how you verify it. I'm big in verification. I don't know. Maybe you can get to the medical records. If those folks indeed were grogged out by carbon monoxide intentionally released there, what could really easily have happened? Number one, an additional fact: he was relatively new in the airplane. If you knew, again, you fly, John. If you're new in the airplane and you have slightly stressful conditions, like it's not a clear day, etc., and something happens, you get a little shaken.
Sure.
Just a little bit. And it would have been really easy for him to put the switch on the wrong notch. It would have been
let's stop here a second. But cutting the fuel off to a single-engine plane doesn't automatically put you into a vertical dive into the ocean.
No, I think what really happened was he got an unusual attitude. I think that's really what happened. Or he got it to, or the other thing is he took the fuel valve off, and a little while later the airplane began to cough. By that time he was groggy all of a sudden, turned his head a couple of times and dunked the airplane.
Ron, I'm going to be facetious by the following remark. I was told, you believe this or not, a person literally told me this, on the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, that it was actually Chichi Rodriguez that popped up out of a false floorboard in the Kennedy limousine and shot Kennedy in the head.
Okay.
So, you know.
Okay. Are you liking my comment on that?
Well, what I'm saying is that we're making a lot of assumptions here that, we can presuppose a lot of different scenarios. I'd never heard of carbon monoxide deal before. John, have you ever
really?
heard? John, have you ever heard that?
You mean used as a weapon against
somebody? Yeah, to knock people out.
Well, let me make a... No, I haven't.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One is that this was a very, very sophisticated aircraft with a very sophisticated autopilot, and that at the touch of a button, if John was having any kind of trouble at all, at the touch of a button, that plane would have taken him to the runway. And I think landed itself, but certainly it would have taken him to the runway of the airport. And so one has to question why that didn't happen. If I haven't made it clear, what I believe happened is that they put a Manchurian candidate flight instructor on that plane. I believe the pilot on Egypt Air 990 was also a Manchurian candidate. I believe that both of them went to the same brainwashing school, and that is why you find that both of them turned off the fuel control valve, and that and what you see in the radar and is very, very clear is that both planes were flying along just fine and then suddenly went straight down. And what's interesting is the same thing happened with Paul Wellstone's plane. Wellstone, the planes were flying along perfectly in clear skies. The moon was visible at Martha's Vineyard, by the way. And that suddenly the plane, they contacted the tower, and apparently there's a trigger, right, to get the Manchurian candidate to act. The trigger was the sign-off from the tower, and they received that trigger, and then they did what they had been programmed to do, which is turn the fuel control valve off first and then grab the controls and push the plane straight down.
But how would we know that? John, I'm going to be a little facetious here. I mean, I'll stick with the Chichi Rodriguez story on the murder of Kennedy.
The way that you know it is the fact that at 11 o'clock in the morning, for no reason whatsoever, the Pentagon is making up out of whole cloth this story that there was a flight instructor on the plane. Why did they make that story up out of complete fabrication without a shred of evidence when there's this wealth of evidence to indicate that there was a flight instructor on the plane? And I'll run just quickly that he had never flown the plane without a flight instructor. He had a damaged ankle that made it difficult for him to control the plane. I didn't mention this before, but on the previous 8 flights, 5 of them had been IFR conditions, instrument conditions. It would have been borderline illegal for him to go up in that plane without a flight instructor on it. Sure. And John was always, all of his flight instructors said, meticulous about and
yeah, he had everything to live for. I mean, it wasn't like this guy was suicidal. It wasn't anything like that. Ron, do you have any closing comment? Then we got to let you go because we have loaded phones.
I just said I accept this in a light humor. John's response to the thought about the Manchurian candidate sounds like the floorboard story to me, and the deal with the. With the monoxide can happen. My God, that's anoxia is really easy to happen, but you could do it with carbon monoxide easily, and that could be checked out in the medical record.
Yeah,
that's checkable.
And that's why you brought up the medical thing. Was there an autopsy, John, that they ever did on?
There was, and there's blood reports in the NTSB report. I read them. I don't remember that. It strikes me that there was nothing particularly significant about it, but I need somebody to answer for me the question of why the Pentagon would invent the story that there was no flight instructor on the plane when the overwhelming evidence was that there was a flight instructor.
Yeah, but John, I'll go back to the original question. Why was the Pentagon even involved in this, and why was the NTSB?
Well, because they murdered him.
Well, and that is the question. Ron in Texas, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, sir. All right. Let's go to Brandon in Oklahoma. Hello, Brandon.
Hi. There were 5 noteworthy events that took place in 96, and one was the murder of JFK Jr., the TWA 800 crash, the plane crash of Ron Brown, this Egypt Air 990, which I'd forgotten about.
So did I.
And finally, the Atlanta bombing of the Atlanta Olympics. So what's the correlation between these 5, if there is one?
A duplicity, a bunch of people lying. I remember the Richard Jewell thing for the Atlanta bombing. I remember the Ron Brown deal.
What's the year?
1996.
This is 1999.
Yeah. Brandon, did you hear what he said?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay.
But there's another one to throw in, which is the murder of the leading member of the Rothschild family.
All right. Was that a murder or?
Oh, it's surely a murder.
Okay. Brandon, hold on. John, Ann, John, Rita, Ed, and others. We'll get to all of you right after this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Now, there's something that can give you the extra energy you need without the use of powerful stimulants and pills. Introducing the all-new Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave. This amazing new patch works with the electronic and magnetic features of the body, like a cellular radio, to transmit information from the patches into the body and enhance the production of energy and stamina. And the patch is non-transdermal, which means nothing actually enters your body. Insane. You simply apply the patch, and the Energy Enhancer does the rest. No more carrying around bottles, pills, or capsules. No more jitters from powerful stimulants. The LifeWave technology in the patches communicates with the body through the human magnetic field, untapping the energy within. Combined with a regular exercise program along with a healthy diet, the Energy Enhancer Patch may help give you the extra energy you need. So join the thousands who discovered the Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave and experience the energy within. To order your supply of the Energy Enhancer Patch, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't wait. Act now.
Something happening in here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
I hope you enjoyed the musical interlude. Talk show host had to take care of personal business. Anyhow, back here, Brandon in Oklahoma. Go ahead.
Anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting, all these different disasters. Suspicious things that happen on airlines, on airplanes.
Yeah, the Ron Brown deal that I'd seen the photographs of the hole in the guy's head, and seemed like there's pretty good evidence that the guy was assassinated, but they couldn't find bullet fragments in the head, which somebody suggested, well, there is the ice bullet, that you can shoot somebody in the head with a bullet literally made out of ice, and it leaves no trace, but it'll certainly put a hole in your head. Yeah, there was a lot of weird things that happened in 96, that's for sure. All right, well, Brandon, thanks for your call. All right, sir. John in Florida. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, there's a series of articles that Sherman Skolnick did. It's up on skolnicksreport.com before he died, and they're still there. And If you go to, there's actually five articles. He did an update back here fairly recently before he died. And if you go back there, it shows that there is an FBI report, and he has that partial FBI report in Series 4, or Part 4.
What was the report on?
It's on JFK Jr.'s plane, and it says there was a bomb in the tail, and it blew the tail off before descent. It also says here that there is preliminary, number 12 of this report says, preliminary examination of the aircraft shows residue of an explosive device the laboratory identifies as being the type used by certain foreign intelligence agencies.
Can we spell Mossad?
Yes, and also you were into the why, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you imagine, because he was going to, according to Skolnick, he was going to announce on August 1st of 1999 that he was running for president. And that cut short that real quickly. What's happened also is that the he had evidence, because his paper, his George magazine, was owned by a company called Hachette, H-A-C-H-E-T-T-E, a French firm, and which is actually owned, one of the partial owners of Hachette was Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein, it goes back to George Herbert Walker Bush and the People Mover system in Chicago, and Banco de Loro Nacional, and also BCCI are involved.
Well, John, let me stop you right here, because I'm trying to fit this in my brain here.
Right.
Of possible scenarios. So if, let me see, we had the first Gulf War go-around with Daddy Bush.
Right.
Kennedys, which were not necessarily, I would not say peacenicks, but they knew a bad deal when they saw one. Of course, we know that John F. Kennedy, he was going to pull all the advisors, the CIA, and everybody else that was over in Nam. Nam was not going to take place. He was also doing some other things that really made the International Monetary Fund people very angry.
Yeah.
The people in doing business down in Cuba at the time with the casinos and all that, they were pretty angry. But, you know, that's funny, because I had never heard that proposed before. I don't know that John Kennedy Jr. could have gone from absolutely nothing to presidency without getting, even senior had a hard time, because he was what, a congressman? He had some political experience, but John F. Kennedy Jr. didn't have any. So that would be a pretty good leap from ground zero to stratosphere Oval Office, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that would be, but the thing is, he had the name recognition. He was a handsome fella.
Yeah.
It put him up next to W, and who do you think would win?
Well, and of course, John Kerry, and, you know, the argument has been, would John Kerry have been in, would we be in the Middle East right now if it was John Kerry instead of George Bush?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would say, yes, we would be.
Well, is John F. Kennedy also skull and bones? So I would say probably no.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, when you had that kind of a confrontation coming head on, I think that's why they took him out.
Well, and I think no matter what his maybe his political ambitions might have been, we're only going by taped conversations or TV interviews or what's printed in magazines.
Right.
And of course, we all know that the powers that be are very good at snooping on you through your computers, your phones, your whatever.
Well, there's also another series of articles that was done by Media Bypass magazine. And in those series of articles, it did say he was at 1,400 feet and descending and made the call to the tower. And at that point, it says nothing about a flight instructor. And in the Skolnick articles, it says nothing about a flight instructor.
Uh-huh.
He had over 500 hours of experience.
300, I thought it was. John looked it up.
Well, the thing is that it says, I can just report what it said in the magazine.
No,
it's over 500. And what happened is that you do not need to have a flight instructor with you to fly at night if you've done it before with a flight instructor.
Okay. We'll break. We'll be right back. Everybody hold on, including you, John. We'll take this break. Long segment coming up on the National Intel Reports. Another dead Kennedy in the ground, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you experiencing memory loss, mood swings, slowed reflexes? Well, North American Herb and Spices NeuroLoft helps make your mind and nerves work better. The powerful herbs and spices in NeuroLoft naturally support the function of the brain and nervous system. To maximize your mental clarity and productivity, call 800-243-5242 and try NeuroLoft today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
To understand what we're talking about here and put it in a cognitive order, the DVD is available, The Assassination of JFK Jr., with all the relevant press conferences, all the things that you did not see. And John Hankey, I wanted to make a mention here because you said that you have those press conferences on this DVD, and the reporters were asking some pretty harsh questions because this stuff didn't add up from Jump Street. And you're right. I'm in agreement with you. There are a lot of people out there, idealistic, I guess you could call them, that want to be in print journalism or they want to get in television. They want to know the who, what, where, when, and how, and that's how they were taught that that's how you do good investigative news stories, whether it be TV or print. And you're right. It never gets past the editorial boards or the people that decide what exactly is going to make it to their specific medias. So I'm in agreement with you there. John in Florida, anything else with us this afternoon, sir?
Yes, also on the Flight 990 case.
Yeah.
There was an investigator named William Donaldson, who was a Navy pilot and did investigations all the time. And he did an investigation into Flight 800 and with the two missiles that actually hit it. And then he went on to speak also about Flight 990.
Not according to Mr. Kallstrom of the FBI.
Well, Yeah, Mr. Kallstrom, of course, gets promoted for his lying. But in any case, because he's still active today. But Mr. Donaldson has passed away, and his report on Flight 990 was that there was a missile fired at that Egyptian airplane, and the pilot was doing a standard evasive maneuver, which was to make a dive and then come back up to try and shake the missile off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the purpose of that dive. He was not a crazy man.
If I remember correctly, this is coming back to me. If I remember correctly, the engines were cut, were they not?
Yes, he had to do something. He was trying to shake this missile off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's according to William Donaldson. And I believe that man was correct in everything he said.
Yeah, because there would be no other plausible explanation.
You know, from his evidence on Flight 800, that there's no way that center tank could have blown up, because you can take a match to that JP-8 fuel and try and light it with a match, and it will not burn. You must have some pressure on it before it will burn.
Exactly.
And
hey, I appreciate the call very much. We've got to move along here. We've got a lot of callers. Thanks, John. By the way, this, and it took me an hour and a half to mention this, but this DVD, ladies and gentlemen, is available from Republic Broadcasting Network, and we have a deal on this. We also carry John Hankey's JFK2, The Bush Connection, and this is establishing beyond a shadow of a doubt the involvement of, oh, that's right, we talked about him earlier, H.W., or Daddy Bush, in a John Kennedy assassination. That normally sells for $20 plus $2 shipping and handling. And then, of course, we have the assassination of JFK Jr. with a lot of footage you people did not see on this important subject. And that is also $20 plus $2 shipping and handling. But here's the deal. You get JFK 2 and the assassination of JFK Jr., and also JFK 2, The Bush Connection, for $30 plus $3 shipping and handling. And all you have to do is call us up today, folks, at 800-724-2719. Take advantage of that deal. Or go online at rbnlive.com. Click on the store there, and you can go right to, as a matter of fact, there, let me get it specifically for you so I can take you right to it. I know I hate navigating websites, and a lot of other people do. Except my back button on my screen won't work. And why is that? Okay, we'll give you that information. But at any rate, 800-724-2719. There we go. On the right-hand side of the main page of RBN Live, just scroll down. It's about five or six buttons down, and then there's the RBN JFK special. So you can order online or give us a call here at the network. Yes, John.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to say a couple of things. One is that you know, there's always a lot of people saying a lot of different things, and one of the things I've tried very, very hard to do is, in the JFK 2 video is stay away from anything that I don't have just rock-solid evidence on, that it's all government documents, it's all words out of the criminal's own mouth,
mm-hmm.
so that there isn't – I try to not present anything that there's any question about the validity of. I tried to do the same thing in JFK Jr. as well, that they're not unsigned FBI reports that are being referred to. They're not. It's all stuff where the guy is on the screen, the words are coming out of his mouth,
right.
Or it is the NTSB report.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because I was thinking about this earlier, and that's why I was being a little bit facetious there for a moment or two, because there are a lot of people, and we know that the ne'er-do-wells out there, the liars, and they can figure out how to lie, disrupt. Discredit, that's one of their favorite things to do, and I am very pleased. That's one of the things that I wanted to say about your work, that you don't go into unsubstantiated theory. You take the facts as you collect them and present them and ask the questions. And in many cases, that is just enough to keep that centered on the important questions.
And I think that the overwhelming evidence is that there was a flight instructor on that plane,
right.
And the question has to be answered. The question has to be answered. If there was a flight instructor on the plane, even if there wasn't, if there was no evidence that there was no flight instructor on the plane, why did the Pentagon start saying that there was none based on no evidence? And to me, that becomes very solid evidence that there must have been a flight instructor on the plane. And when you look at the radar pattern, it's very clear that somebody on that plane committed suicide. According to the NTSB, the fuel valve being in the off position is evidence that somebody on that plane committed suicide. And when I put two and two together with a 19-hour delay, they delayed the rescue. You see helicopters, that is to say the guy from the Civil Air Patrol saw helicopters out there who are unaccounted for. Well, my conclusion from the hard evidence is that they were out there recovering the body of the flight instructor who was suicidal. Clearly, someone on the plane was suicidal. But
yeah. Well, I don't know. There was no forensic evidence. Well, what forensic evidence? It was a non-story. It was carefully crafted and it was controlled from beginning to end. So, what story? But the forensics. It would be nice to know if, in fact, as Stroman Skolnick suggested, and I'm sure you heard about his unsubstantiated FBI report, that in fact there was damage done to that aircraft before it augured into the ocean. So,
well, but you have all these witnesses on the beach who are shown in photographs. holding not Carolyn Bessette, her sister's, holding her sister's briefcase, and you can see the name tag, and the witnesses said that the stuff was not damaged, and the photographs show that the stuff was not damaged, and the luggage compartment is in the rear of the plane.
So that kind of lets out the bomb theory.
I think that let me just say that I was looking for a bomb, and there's not a shred of evidence of it. Not one, slightest.
Why? And you can't ask a dead man, and I don't mean to make light of this, but why would Sherman Skolnick suggest these things if there was no substantiating fact behind it?
Well, because he believes false FBI reports that were handed to him. That would be my answer.
That would be my guess also.
And you know, if I'm one of the bad guys, the more false stories I can put out. Right, and then the truth is surrounded. It's some poor fool like me comes out with this hard earned evidence, but it's surrounded by all this garbage. Then it makes it more difficult for their eye to find the true evidence when it's surrounded by stories that are false. And you know, there's so much. How many books are there on the JFK assassination, and how much garbage is there?
Well,
out there on the JFK assassination.
And look how much damage control that was done since then, and is still going on to this day.
Still going on today, which lets you know that it's really, really a fundamental point. There was one other thing that I wanted to try to make, and I'll try to say it as quickly as I can, that in the DVD I try to make the case, and it was something that I discovered when I went in and started doing the research, which is that George Bush Sr.'s political career started the day after the assassination. And that, as with the mafia, when you commit a murder for them, he committed his murder for the Rockefellers and the rest of them. And that from that point on, he was a made man. And it didn't matter how many times he failed. They picked him up and put him on top of the pile again. He ran for Senate and lost. He ran for Senate again and lost. And when he lost the second time, Nixon picked him up and dusted him off and gave him a job in the White House, where he brought E. Howard Hunt with him, who Hunt then brought down Nixon for the same people, I believe. But anyhow, Bush runs and he loses to Reagan. And I have it on what I consider good authority, although I haven't researched this point, there's plenty of it. They've read many harsh words between Reagan and Bush, and that Bush was forced down Reagan's throat. And a couple months after Reagan gets in, he's getting shot. Right? That is to say that they tried as hard as they could to get Bush into the White House. By forcing Reagan to take him and then trying to assassinate Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, John, because look what happened after they dumped Tricky Dick, and then we had Ford that rolled into office, and, well, who was picked to be vice president?
Nelson Rockefeller.
There you go. We had a Rockefeller finally in the White House.
Yeah, finally.
Ann in New Mexico. Hello, Ann.
Hi, John.
Hi.
RBN, number one. And thanks for having the Loose Change guys on. Oh, that was a great program. And John Hankey, thank you for your work. A friend of mine reads Skolnick too, and we were talking about some of the articles, and he said, you know, JFK Jr. was done in. He says, and then he looked at me and he says, you know, he was going to look into investigate his father's death. Like you say, H killed the father, W killed the son. And then he said, why do you suppose he named his magazine George? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I never even thought about that.
I never did either. I just looked at it and I'm going, he knew. George. Isn't that interesting?
Any thoughts on that, John?
I don't know that I would have gone with that one. What's clear is that he was devoted to his father. is the number of his plane was his father's birth date. I think it's 520 JK for John Kennedy, but not John Kennedy Jr., John Kennedy Sr. I think that he was very much devoted to his father and preoccupied with the loss that he suffered as a result. And
He loved his father.
Well, and he was obviously, he regarded Oliver Stone as a very, very credible individual. He published him. And, you know, Stone is in contact with Fletcher Prouty and Jim Mars, and Jim Garrison, who are all supplying him with very, very, very solid stuff. So
he was probably going to use this magazine as a platform to make light of a lot of things that were, you know, being hidden. That might have been a reason why they did away with it.
Guys, I can guarantee you one thing, that Senator Edward Kennedy, being the stone alcoholic this guy is, as a matter of fact, I hear tell that they're not going to have to embalm him when he dies. He's already well preserved. He is still a useful idiot and absolutely no threat to anybody. So we won't even have to take bets on are they going to do something about him. Obviously, they're not.
John, here's something I read about Kennedy introducing a bill where people that have excess space in their house are going to have to bivouac illegals. Check that out.
Hey, well, that's what I said, a useful idiot.
Yahweh bless you.
Well,
keep
thank
up
you.
The good work.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And I want to say something in defense of Edward Kennedy. He has been in two plane crashes. And one of the plane crashes he was in killed everybody else on the plane and broke his back. And I think that Chappaquiddick has all the earmarks of an operation. E. Howard Hunt was on the scene either before or shortly thereafter. I think that everything else you said about him being a useful idiot is unfortunately true.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to cut the guy a considerable amount of slack.
I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of complicity in the United States Congress and in the Senate right now, allowing this madman that is taking and usurping the reins of power, the would-be king. And
sure.
It is their responsibility.
He supported Kerry. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there might be political motivation there, but aside from political motivation, you still are a senator, you still are a congressman, you still have the obligation and duty to do what's right. And in my estimation, Kennedy or anybody else in the United States Senate has not taken their job seriously. We can go back and we could spend another hour talking about all the injustices and all the illegalities and all the unconstitutionalities that their predecessors and they are engulfed in right now, and we could talk about that for the next hour. But I do not give any of these people at present a pass on anything.
Okay.
All right. So that's my two cents for what it's worth. John in Alabama. Hello, John.
Hello, John. Great show again, as usual. You guys are doing a very good job down there.
Well, support RBN and buy the DVD.
There you go.
Sure, sure. And John can tell you that I do support him. In 1953, I think, Kennedy became senator. He was a congressman before, so you were right. He was a congressman and then a senator and then president.
That's right. You're
yeah.
right.
And Ann kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but I did hear Junior, JFK Jr., on as either Johnny Carson or whatever when his magazine first came out, and they asked him how come he wanted to start a magazine. He said he was going to use it as a way to disclose the killer of his father. And, you know, I really never thought about it until a couple years back, you know, after he was killed. I think that when he named that person, he named the person in his magazine esoterically. You know, he placed it right in plain sight for everybody to see, right in the title, George, meaning George did it.
Let me talk about that just a little bit. I don't know how
that's
much
what
people
Ann,
in the audience
that's what
know.
Ann was saying.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know how much people in the audience know, but about George Herbert Walker and the assassination of John Kennedy Sr., and that is that there's a memo that was printed in the Nation magazine when Bush was running for re-election. And the memo was written 5 days after the assassination. It was written signed by J. Edgar Hoover. The title of the memo is Assassination of President John Kennedy, and it's titled Assassination of John Kennedy, and then it doesn't have anything about the assassination in it. It talks about what Hoover calls misguided anti-Castro Cubans. and then it names George Bush as one of the supervisors of these misguided anti-Castro Cubans who came to see Hoover to get a report on them. So that, and this was at a time when Bush was supposedly not in the CIA, which, I mean, it indicates that he was in the CIA when he ran for Senate, when he ran for Congress, and when he ran for Senate, and when he did all the other things that he did. But it also indicates that he was the supervisor of these Cubans. Well, the frontline supervisor, the first-level supervisor of these Cubans was E. Howard Hunt. And E. Howard Hunt, when he was arrested for Watergate, he was the chief of the Watergate burglars of the Cubans, said while he was talking to the Washington Post that they were assassins. And then later on, Spotlight magazine published a FBI memo that had surfaced, I'm sorry, a CIA memo from Richard Helms to Jesus Angleton discussing the fact that Hunt was in Dallas the day that Kennedy was murdered and that he was involved in the assassination. And long story short is that Hunt sued for slander and lost. The jury found that the preponderance of the evidence indicated that Hunt was, in fact, in Dallas the day that Kennedy was murdered and was, in fact, involved in the assassination.
Yeah.
The connections between Hunt and the Bush family are just incredible. Immediately after World War II, Hunt says during the trial that he was working for Averell Harriman. Well, Prescott Bush was Averell Harriman's number one right-hand man. Hunt says he was operating as his press secretary, which means he would have been in the office in daily contact,
right,
and inescapably in contact with Prescott Bush, therefore.
Okay, we got five.
Well, that was my point, is that he named, that is he, JFK Jr., named the person responsible in the title of his magazine.
Well, and it could be a double entendre, too. It could refer to George in more than one instance.
Yeah,
all right.
You're exactly right. One and two.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call, John, and your support. By the way, you want to pick up the video that we're discussing here today, you can do so. You can either go to rbnlive.com and just click on the little button that we have magically placed on the screen, and you can order online, or you can go to your telephone, toll-free, 800-724-2719, and JFK 2, if you've not seen it, The Bush Connection, it is well worth your time, ladies and gentlemen. And also his John Hankey's latest one, The Assassination of JFK Jr. And you can get both of them. They're $20 a piece. You get both of them. You get them both for $30. Give us a call or go online to get it.
And you can read reviews at Amazon, and Google Video carries both of them. You can actually watch them. But I think if you watch them, you'll want to own them.
All right. Rita in Colorado. Hello, Rita.
Oh, hi, John.
Hi, Rita.
Yeah, just one thing I wanted to say was, I can follow your trail about the Pentagon, but if the Pentagon is involved in this thing, they don't need a Manchurian candidate. All they need to do is hit a button. There's a boat in Chesapeake Bay called the Empress II, and its mission is able to zero in on anything and give it an electromagnetic pulse and disable all the electromagnetic systems on that vehicle. So, and it would have, the timeline was that he called the tower and then it happened. So if somebody was zeroing in on him with an electromagnetic pulse weapon, they would wait until that signal happened, you know, confirm that that's their target and hit it. And what I heard was it didn't go straight down. It did a loop. It did a dive and then went up and then went dive and went up. And that is exactly what would happen if all the electron.
No, not necessarily, because I think this is still a wire system. Is it not in that type of plane, John?
Well, the pedals certainly are a wire system. I don't know about. I can't speak for the rest of the system.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's any hydraulics or electric. It's not a fly-by-wire system. That's my point.
But it also it would really mess up the people that were in there too, because
it's a possibility.
Yeah, and we've got Billy Jeff Clinton in MENA as a drug runner, and George number one is a drug runner. They're both Skull and Bones guys. He'd be proven his bona fides with the gang that he wants of Satanist hypocrites that they want to have in control.
It's a possibility, Rita. Thanks for your call. You heard that before, John, about electromagnetic pulse weapons?
Well, you know, my mind was open going into this to, you know, whatever. I just went in and started digging up the evidence that I could.
Right, I understand.
And the evidence that I found was for this delay, and so then now I'm looking for a reason to explain why there would be a delay.
Delay, exactly.
I had heard, you know, I heard at 7 o'clock in the morning on the radio that there was a flight instructor on the plane, and when I get home in the afternoon, I hear that there wasn't a flight instructor on the plane. So that was something that was very much in the forward part of my mind during the investigation. But like I said, I just went in looking for what I could find, and what I found was a suicide. You see that in the radar. You see it in the fuel control valve, and I see that there was a flight instructor whose presence was denied before it could have been known that there was no flight instructor. They were denying that there was one. And then this long delay in the rescue, which made me indicated to me that they were in there looking for something.
I understand. We got a few more calls. I want to try to squeeze them in. Ed in Texas, sorry to leave you so short of time, but go ahead.
It's all right, John. I was a long time, lay some groundwork a long time ago. I was a skydiver. And in those days, we put a student out of an airplane with a reserve that had a little explosive charge that would pull his ripcord when he passed through 2,500 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That would open his reserve parachute if he happened to panic and not pull his main.
Right.
Okay? This type of technology worked back in the 60s. Now, I was inadvertently gassed with nitrogen one time. You don't even know what hits you. Just go to sleep and feel wonderful. Okay? Now, if they had a oxygen bottle on that aircraft that was filled with nitrogen and an altimeter-controlled valve, that when that aircraft went to 2,500 feet, it would open that valve, everybody just went to sleep. Now, if he called in, he's on final approach, everybody went to sleep, he's in a low-wing aircraft, not a high-wing Cessna. A high-wing Cessna will be very forgiving and not auger in. It'll fly straight and level until it runs out of gas, or it'll slowly descend, but it's not going to auger into the ocean. But if you've got a low wing aircraft like a Piper, that sucker is going to go haywire with no mechanical or human controls. So anything could happen with that airplane.
Well, it's out of all of what I've heard so far, that sounds to me the most plausible explanation.
That was my first thought when, you know, I tried to put together who killed this guy. One other thought about Ron Brown: if you put a 45 slug in the top of somebody's head, like I heard it happened, they X-rayed his head, not his body, where the slug would have ended up. So there's another point. And then with the Kennedy, with the Clinton connection, my thought has always been that if I heard of an airplane crash during their administration, my first thought was always who was that aircraft was associated in any way with the Clintons.
I understand. We're out of time, Ed. Thanks for holding for us. Henry, Don, and others, we're sorry we couldn't get to your calls. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be at Ground Zero in New York City on Monday. Actually, I'll be up there before then, but September 11th, we'll be reporting to you live from New York City. We will talk to you then. John Hankey, thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
All righty, sir. Folks, again, that'll do it for us today. Give us a call at 800-724-2719. Get both of the DVDs for $30. Or you can go online on rbnlive.com. We'll talk to you Monday. See you then.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.